Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, God bless you. This is Evangelist Amos coming to you live from Meta Teaching Ministries. We're doing a study tonight on the subject of death. Amen. And this is not something that is going to be a popular topic, and it's not going to be something that a lot of people want to tune into. But God told me to teach on death, and that's what I intend to do. Praise the Lord. So I pray that if you have been led to listen to this broadcast and there's something that God wants to speak to into your life tonight, that you will listen with an attentive heart and prayerfully receive what the Holy Spirit has to minister to you tonight. And I just want to open up with prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I give you glory and I give you praise. I worship you tonight, God, and I give you back this gift that you have given me. And God, I just want to be pleasing in your sight. And God, I ask that everything that I say and do, that you will be pleased with it, and that the thoughts of my mind and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight today. Lord God, I just worship you, and I thank you for this Bible study on tonight, and I pray that you will draw the people that you would have to learn from this word into this Bible study in Jesus' name, that it will minister and produce fruit in their lives, and God, that your word will not return void, for you said it will accomplish that thing that you have sent it out to do. And I give you glory and I give you praise for a word ministry. Praise the Lord. Okay, saints, we're talking about the subject of death today. Some of you will learn a lot about death. You will be able to teach others about this subject, amen? And you will have peace about it, amen? Be able to minister to other people about death, amen? Because it's not bad. It's not a bad thing if you know the Lord. But if you don't know God, then, of course, you should be afraid of death. Then know the Lord, amen? We're not afraid of death. But the Bible says, we're going to start, I want to start with my notes. The opposite of death is life. That is why Jesus said he came to give us eternal life. In John 3:16, one of the most famous verses that everybody learns as a child, God so loved the world, as you and I, mankind, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall have eternal life. Amen. So the opposite of death is life. We have two choices in life that we have to make once we reach the age of accountability, and that's different for each person. But mentally, you have to know the difference between right and wrong, and you have to be able to accept Jesus in your heart as your personal Lord and Savior in order to be held accountable. For the Bible says, to him that knoweth to do and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So we have two choices in life. We have eternal life, and we have eternal damnation. Amen. So eternity with God and Jesus Christ, or eternity separated from God and Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and we're going to go over some scriptures tonight, that he conquered death, hell, and the grave through the resurrection from the dead, and we're going to talk about that. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the Bible says, we're going to start up in verse 12. This is that I've really been wanting to teach on for a while. Amen. So let's start in 15 and 12. And the Bible says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, we're talking about the resurrection, how say some among you that there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, Paul said, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also in vain. Yea, and we are found to be false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. So Paul is teaching on the resurrection here. And you can't talk about death without talking about the resurrection of the dead. Amen. Because the Bible says that we are all going to be resurrected. Amen. Just as he is, so shall we be. Amen. For the dead, in verse 16 it says, for if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. But we know that Christ has risen from the dead, and we're going to prove it to you with the scriptures. In verse 17, the Bible says, if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. So they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Now, this says, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished, if Christ be not raised from the dead. All these two verses go hand in hand, verse 17 and 18. He said, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. Then also they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only, and this is very important, this is the part I want to bring out, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we have all men most miserable. But now, verse 20, how is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep? The first fruits is talk die in Christ. He has become the first fruits of us that sleep, the saints that have went on to be with the Lord. We refer to them as going to sleep. For in verse 21, the Bible says, for since by man came death, and we know he's talking about Adam here, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. This is why Jesus said in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, he said, prepare me a body, amen, because he is the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. All the sacrifices in the Old Testament were done as an example of Christ, the Passover Lamb, coming to earth to die for the sins of the world. And we know that he did do this. So every time you read the Old Testament and you see the sacrifices and you see the laws and you see the rituals of the Jewish people and everything that they did, amen, it was all pointing to the Messiah, which was Christ, who came to give his life as a ransom for men. And ransom means that he came to pay the cost, amen, for sin. Remember in the garden, we talked about this before, where Adam and Eve sinned. God said, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Now, we know they did not die in the physical realm because Adam and Eve continued to live on the earth, but they were separated from God, amen, through their sin. That's why when God came to greet Adam the first day after he had sinned, he said, Adam, where art thou? And Adam said, I was ashamed, and I hid because I was naked. God said, who told you that you was naked? And he said, presence. Amen. And God asked him, did you eat of the tree that I commanded you not to, the knowledge of good and evil? And then after that, Adam was no longer in a state of innocence. Man left from being in a state of innocence to being in a state of responsibility, amen, for his sins. So God told Adam, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. He died spiritually because he was separated from God. As you remember, he made himself close. He made himself fig leaves. This is man's way of approaching God through fig leaves. But there was no blood sacrifice. And the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So God removed the fig leaves that Adam had made for himself, which is what a lot of people do still, even today. People are coming up with their own ways of religion to approach unto God. God said, no, you have to come to me the way that I have told you to come to me, which is through the shedding of blood. And God took away the fig leaves and gave them coats of skin, which means that he had to have an animal sacrifice to give them a coat of skin to cover themselves to be in his presence. So even in the beginning, Adam and Eve had to have an animal sacrifice in order to approach unto God. And we, amen, now we have the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, amen, who gave his life for the sins of the world. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15:22, the Bible says, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Only through Jesus Christ can you be made alive, can you have eternal life. The Bible says in verse 23, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ that is coming. Then cometh the end, verse 24. This is Paul talking to the Corinthian church in chapter 15. Paul said, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, talking about Jesus Christ, even the Father, and when he shall have put down all rule, all authority, and all power. So he's talking about all of the spirits, demonic spirits that are ruling on the earth. Jesus Christ is going to have put down all rule, all authority, and all power. And that's when he's going to submit the kingdom unto the Lord. That's why Paul said, then come of the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, the kingdom to God, and even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign, the Bible says. So we know Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. The Bible says, for he must reign till he have put all enemies under his feet. Hallelujah. So Jesus Christ is putting all enemies, that means all sickness, all death, everything that is not from the kingdom of God, God, Jesus Christ is putting them under his feet. He must reign, the Bible says, till he have put all enemies under his feet. That's why we say the devil is under our feet. But the Bible says the last enemy that shall be destroyed is thou. And that's what we're talking about tonight. This is in verse 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is thou. Now, verse 27. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifested that he is accepted, talking about Jesus, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, talking about Jesus, all things are going to be subdued unto Jesus Christ, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Jesus Christ is ranking. He's going to submit himself unto the Father. Amen. But right now, all things have to be put under his feet. Amen. 29. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? This is Paul talking. And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Why are we risking our life if there is no resurrection? Verse 31. He said, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. That means I'm dying every day. I'm dying to the flesh. I'm dying to this world. Amen. He said, I die daily. And that's what every Christian is supposed to be able to say. I die daily to the sins, to this world. Amen. This worldly system. Amen. I'm drawing closer and closer to God every day. I'm leaving this world behind. Paul said, I die daily. Verse 32. He said, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage it me if the dead rise not? For let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. A lot of people say, you know, when I die, and there's a picture on TV talking about the proof. Those people believe, and I've heard them say out of their own mouth, that when they die, and these are doctors talking, there is nothing else after death. Everything stops. Everything ceases. But Paul said, if the dead rise not, then let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And that's true. If there is no resurrection, then why are we sacrificing? Why are we putting our lives on the line? Why are we doing without? Why are we seeking God? Why are we not just going out partying and eating and drinking with everybody if there is no resurrection from the dead? For he said in verse 33, be not deceived. Now, he said all of that to end with this. Be not deceived, he said, for evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised? And with what body do they come? Paul said, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. A seed, the Bible says, when thou sowest not that body that shall be, and but bare grain. So a seed does not look like what it's going to look like when you harvest it. He said you sow it, it has a different body or a different manifestation than the end result. What you sow is not what you're going to receive. He said, but it's bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. This is another thing that Paul is teaching us tonight. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star different from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. He's using the natural things to teach us a spiritual concept. He says, so also is the resurrection of the dead in verse 42. It is sown in corruption. This body that we have right now, it is corruptible. So when it goes into the earth, it goes into the earth corruptible. It is sown in corruption because it is subject to illness. It's not perfect. It's dying daily. Every day that we live, we're one step closer to the day that we're going to die. Amen. So he said, it is sown in corruption, but it is raised in incorruption. So our new body is going to be incorruptible or eternal. It's going to live forever. Verse 43, another way to look at this body. It is sown in dishonor. The body that goes into the ground is going to be sown in dishonor. This body is dishonorable compared to the body that we're going to receive. He said, but it is going to be raised in glory. This is really blessing me. My heart is getting excited as I'm reading this. It is sown in weakness. This body is weak compared to the body that we're going to receive. He said, but it is raised in power. Amen. Jesus, the new body that Jesus got, because he's the first fruit of them that rise from the dead. He has a spiritual body. He has a body that is glorious. He has a body that is raised in power. And he has a body that is incorruptible. Amen. So this is what we're learning about the body that we are to receive. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. So we're going to have a spiritual body, amen, one day. Just like we have a natural body today, we're going to have a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Verse 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. So when God breathed into Adam, if you remember in Genesis, the Bible says God breathed into Adam and he became a living soul. The first Adam was a living soul. The last Adam is going to be, it was made, which is Jesus Christ, a quickening spirit, his spiritual body. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. So we have a natural body first, but afterward we're going to have a spiritual body. The first man is of the earth, earthy, that's us. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they that also earthy. So, and as is the heavenly, talking about Jesus, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, as we have borne the image of Adam and his likeness in the image of God, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, talking about Christian people, of course. We shall bear the image of the heavenly, for those that believe in Jesus are going to bear his image. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This is very important, saints. We have a flesh and blood body now, but when Jesus got up, he said, this is a flesh and bone. He did not say blood. If you read back over in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it talks about the body that Jesus got up with. He said flesh and bone. Amen. So he didn't have the blood. The blood is not going to be necessary for our spiritual body. He said, but it did have flesh and bone. This is a little key into our spiritual body that we're going to receive. But the Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery in verse 41. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So this scripture is talking about the new body that we're going to receive when we rise from the dead. And it says, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed in the moment and the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet sound. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible, in verse 54, shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And this is why I want to talk about death today. Death is going to be swallowed up in victory when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Hallelujah. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that death is swallowed up in victory. Then we shall be able to say, Paul said in verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. For Paul said, how had I known that whether to sin if it had not been for the law? So the strength of sin is the law. The sting of death is sin. But we're going to be able to say, O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? The grave is not going to be able to hold a true Christian. Amen. Because it couldn't hold Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He got up, amen. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He said he has the keys to death and hell in Revelations 1 and 18. So we know that Jesus Christ conquered death, amen, by the resurrection from the dead. Verse 57, but thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the victory. Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He said, if you have to be an overcomer in the book of Revelation. To him that overcometh will I give to eat from the tree of life. Amen. So he said, to him that overcometh, but thanks be to God, Paul says, that gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 58, this is the last verse in this chapter. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's why I preach on this radio so hard, because I'm doing what I can. Amen. I don't have a church. I don't have a pulpit. I don't have people following me for whatever reason. Maybe it's not time yet. But God said for me to do what I can do, and that is to preach this gospel. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Praise God. Let's continue on, amen. That was 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Bible says he conquered death, hell, and the grave through the resurrection from the dead. And that's why we can say, O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? We can laugh in the face of death. Amen. Revelations 1 and 18, Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. Amen. So Jesus Christ has the keys of hell and death. That's why he can raise the dead. He said, he told Mary and Martha, he said, Lazarus shall rise again. Remember in John chapter 11. And Martha said, I know he shall rise in the resurrection. What did Jesus tell her? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, he shall live. Though he was dead, yet shall he live in me, because I am the resurrection. He said, I have the keys of hell and of death. I am the resurrection. Amen. He said, greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to the Father. So Jesus is interceding for us. Amen. That's why we are to do greater works. In Jesus Christ, we can do all things. He said nothing would be impossible unto us if we only believe. But he also said, when the Son of Man returns, shall there be faith on the earth. Amen, because the devil is after our faith. I don't care what you say. All the TV shows, all everything that's put out by the government, everything that's put out, amen, it is to rob you of your faith in God. Amen, to rob you of your faith in the miracle-working power of God, that it is God's will for you to receive your miracles and to be used by God to perform miracles in these last days. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 6 through 8, which I'm going to turn over there now, we're going to start in verse 1. The Bible says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, talking about this body, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Talking about the house that God has for us in the heavens. He said, well, there are many mansions in my Father's house, a house not made with hands. Jesus said, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, in verse 2 he says, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, talking about our new body. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. So we are groaning, Paul said, and in this body we are burdened not to be unclothed, but to be clothed upon with our new body. Now he that hath wrought for us the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. This is the next verse is what I want to talk about. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. So if we are at home or comfortable in this body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. That's what I just got through telling you. We walk by faith, saints. We've walked by faith. You have got to get your faith to the point where you can believe God for anything. Amen. And not look at what you see, but look at what you don't see. And know that God is able. Amen. That's why Jesus, so many times, he asked the people when he came to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And he said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. It's the same way today. Faith works by the same principle. Do you believe that God is able to do this through Jesus Christ's name? And do you believe, amen, that he is able? Not only is he able, but do you receive, amen, according to your faith, so be it unto you. Amen. We are confident, verse 8 says, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Praise God. Let's go on. Therefore, Paul says, we are confident, knowing that when we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Okay, so I just wanted to say this. This is in my notes. I know that I can't go anywhere until I finish my assignment on earth, which I have not even begun to see a fulfillment of the prophecies that God has over my life. Amen. And that's just something I want to share with you. You can't go anywhere until God gets ready for you. Amen. I feel like this is just what I feel like I'm going through right now. I feel like I'm on the backside of the desert, like Moses was in Exodus chapter 3, when God was perfecting his relationship with Jesus before he sends me out. Moses was on the backside of the desert getting perfected. And Moses in Exodus 3, it says Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. So Moses was there for 40 years. Remember, he was 40 years in Egypt. He led the children of Israel out when he was 40 years old. He spent another 40 years just getting ready to do what God told him to do. Moses was 80 years old when God sent him back to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. A lot of people don't know that. He was 80 years old. Amen. But this is the same mountain that God gave the Ten Commandments. It was known as the Mountain of God, Mount Horeb. It was the same mountain that God told Moses, you will worship me here after you enter the Promised Land. Horeb is where they made the golden calf, and Horeb is where God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, because they worshiped at Mount Horeb while Moses was up on the mountain of God receiving the Ten Commandments. Horeb is where God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, not one but twice. Just because we are on the backside of the mountain does not mean the mountain is not special or sacred to God. Amen. Let's go to Psalms 1:16-15. The Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And now I want to talk about in the beginning. God never intended for his creatures to experience death. That's why he says precious is in his sight is the death of his saints. Therefore, when one of his children dies, it is precious or a must value to the Lord. Let's go over to prove this in Job chapter 1, verse 12. God told Satan to touch Job's body, but not his life. This means that seek permission before he can put sickness on you from God. Amen. And God wants us to use our faith. Amen. But God told Satan to touch his body, but not his life. That means that Satan could not do more than what God allowed him to do. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, in verse 12, all that he have is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. So that was the first verse when Satan was allowed to take everything that Job had, but he couldn't touch his body. But over in chapter 2, verse 6, that's where Satan was allowed to put sickness on Job's body. Amen. So we know that sickness is from the devil. And the Bible says in 2 and 6, the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So God allowed Satan to put sickness on Job, but he couldn't kill him. Amen. This means that you can put sickness on him, but don't kill him. Amen. So let's go on. Amen. Back over to Matthew chapter 26, verse 2. The Bible says, I'm going to talk about Jesus' death, amen, and burial and resurrection. In Matthew 26 and 2, Jesus said, you know that after 2 days it's the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is going to be betrayed to be crucified. In Matthew 20 and 18 through 19, Jesus said, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes. They shall condemn him to death. So Jesus prophesied about his own death. He said, in 3 days, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will rebuild it. Now, they thought he was talking about this temple. They thought he was talking about the temple that was the church building that they were worshiping in. They said it took 46 years to build this temple, and you're talking about in 3 days you're going to rebuild it. But Jesus was talking about his body, amen. But, amen, he said that, and another scripture says, he shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge or beat and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. I want to, amen, finish talking about Enoch in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. Enoch walked with God until he was not, or he did not die. Amen, by faith, in Hebrews 11 and 5, the Bible says, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Amen. I want to finish talking about this. but my time is running out. So I just want to end, amen. I want to come back next time and finish talking about Korah, because I didn't finish all my scriptures. We're going to talk about Korah and how he didn't die the common death, amen. And then we're going to talk about eternal life, something that everybody wants to talk about, amen. So tune in tomorrow. I'm going to try to do another message tomorrow night, and it's going to be finish up this message and start talking about eternal life. God bless you. I love you. This is Evangelist Amos signing off from Manna Teaching Ministries. Love you with the love of the Lord. Good night.